I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Welcome to Tuesday's podcast.
Hi.
Yeah.
Where's Aaron? Is he underneath his beanbag again?
Under the beanbags. I always worry when he retreats under the beanbags.
It's not a good omen.
It's because he knows his day's just beginning.
Where do your cats retreat to?
What?
Do your cats retreat anywhere? Usually cats have like a place.
Oh, they? Just into the garage, I suppose.
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, here's the show.
Yeah.
Here's the show.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
So Scotty just waltzed into the studio 2 minutes ago with banana.
Not even 2 minutes ago.
Stuck to his face. And we had a whole other thing to talk about. But in the meantime.
Banana. It wasn't banana.
Well, what was it?
It's nuts.
He had nuts.
It was walnut. Because I have five almonds.
How do you get walnuts stuck to your face?
I have five almonds and two walnuts on my way in every morning. And obviously one of the walnuts has crumbed onto my face.
How are you eating a walnut that it gets stuck into your stubble? Are you rolling in it before you
honestly
eat it like a Labrador?
If you want to hear the honest answer, I was driving here still when I heard Tom and Ollie on the radio. And then you two come on and be like, you're pronouncing things wrong, Tom and Ollie. And I like, what?
Scotty, you know, there's types of people who just follow things by the letter. Scotty is one of these. So Scotty read somewhere that eating, how many? Five
like
almonds.
The health lift out of
you
the
meant
paper.
To have eight almonds a
eight
day.
Eight almonds and two walnuts a day is a thing. And how long have you been doing this absurd regime?
Less than 6 months, but pushing.
Hold on. So just before you said to us that you've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
So I thought you've been doing it since you were like a teenage boy.
No.
No, just six months.
As if he was buying his own nuts when he was a teenager. And do you think his mum would be going to the grocery store and buying a bag of nuts for Scott to eat when he was a teen?
Probably.
This is definitely some kind of fad that he's jumped on.
It is not a fad.
It is a fad.
13, 10, 60 if you know nuts are good for you.
We know nuts are good for
if
us.
If you have some kind of medical background of what I'm saying right now is true, 13, 10, 60.
But you're so precise.
Yeah.
I could never stop myself at eight almonds. That would never happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did you know if you eat too many almonds, you can get cyanide poisoning from them?
I don't know how you have a girlfriend.
That's really good to know in case I want to murder someone by almonds. Thank you.
Jeez, that got
5 kilos. Who would eat that?
That's impossible to eat five
it is impossible.
Kilos of almonds.
Oh, well, Scott, challenge.
Tomorrow on the show, will one of us die from eating too many almonds?
One of the greatest feelings in the world is when you're waiting for a delivery from an online purchase you've made, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that the most exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know it's coming. You've possibly received a notification saying the courier's arriving, please keep your dogs indoors, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, this is it. Finally, the day has arrived.
Dominoes are never that thorough, but I can relate.
No, I'm talking about online, you know, perhaps if you're a chick, you know, you've bought something.
Yeah, we know how it works.
ASOS. You know, well, I'm just trying to paint the bloody picture.
Tell us more about how online shopping works, please.
We probably shouldn't get too gender specific about it either.
Some I think of us are good storytellers. Other people just ruin the bloody mood, but whatever. Also, Sarah just wants to skim past this because she's a shopping addict, so I'll throw you under the bus.
Oh, God.
And now you feel uncomfortable talking about the feelings involved because you have a problem. Anyway.
That escalated quickly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday, I
don't
was
have
away.
A shopping problem. I put a lot of things in cart that I never buy. That's different.
Same thing. Yesterday, I received a notification. I was like, yes, my shoes have arrived. I've bought myself a pair of shoes for Mother's Day. The driver drives up the driveway, and I was like, this is it, this is it. All of a sudden, Dane walks out of the shed. And I was like, what's he doing? This is my delivery. And we look at each other. I'm on the veranda. He's down at the shed. And I was like, what's going on here? And he's like, is that for you? I said, yeah, bloody oath, it's for me. And he's like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure. So I go up to the window of the courier driver And he's like, please sign here. Hands me a package that weighs dead set 8 kilos. I was like, these are not my pink ballet flats. Pair of mower blades. Dane 1, Lee 0. I was like, what is this? I was expecting my pink shoes, Dane. And he's like, I'm so sorry. 2 hours later, another van arrives. I was like, this is it. These are my pink shoes. Dane emerges from the shed. He lives there, by the way. I've kicked him out to the shed. Is that for you? I was like, yeah, I think these are mine. Go up to the window. It's a pair of mower tyres. He is building a bloody ride-on mower from scratch. And I was like, do you think you could have told me this before all of my hopes go into, like, receiving my pink ballet flats for
so
the love
on.
Of
Did
God?
Did they arrive at all yesterday?
No.
They're still en route.
They are en route, probably because Dane's hijacked every bloody courier driver in the vicinity to build his mower. Anyway, there you go. That's it.
What a Mexican standoff.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
I have an amazing story to share. Well, I think it's amazing anyway. Last week I was having lunch with my sister who's recently had her first baby, and she was telling me about a phenomenal experience that happened to her, I think. So earlier that week she had a bag of clothes to drop off to Vinny's in her boot for ages, right? You know, we've all got that bag in the boot, don't we?
Absolutely.
Of just old clothes that we are ready to chuck in the donations bin. And so she was coming, she was in the car driving, and she saw the Vinny's, and there was a park in the loading zone at the front, and Bob was in the back seat, and she thought, oh God, I won't be here long. I'll just pull into the loading zone and I'll get Bob, and then I'll quickly get the bag of clothes in the other hand and go and put it in the bin. So off she went. She did that. The bin was maybe, she said it was about 40 metres away from the car.
Suburbia, inner city?
Inner city. Well, you know, like within 2K radius
okay.
of the city.
Okay.
Not CBD.
Okay, not CBD.
If we're
CBD.
Being specific.
Yes, I think we need to be.
Okay. Anyway, when she came back to the car, lo and behold, there was a parking ticket on the windscreen. A parking ticket for $100. And she thought, oh God, like of all the luck. Now, this sister of mine has been a magnet for parking tickets since she could drive. I mean, if her car could get towed, it would. If there was a ticket to be given to anybody in the city, she would get it. And she thought, oh, she could see the parking inspector off 100 metres up the road. She's like, I'm going to give this a crack. I'm going to go up and see if I can have this ticket waived. So she went up to the lady inspector and said, look, you've just given me a ticket on my car. I'm so sorry. I was dropping a bag of clothes into Lifeline. I didn't want to park further away because I've got my baby with me. Is there anything you can do? And the parking inspector said, don't worry about it. I'll cancel the ticket.
No way.
That is unheard of. Because once they print it, don't they feed us this lie that once they print it, they can't do anything about it? That's happened to me so many times.
That's what I always thought.
You can't reverse a printed ticket. That's what I've been led to believe all these years.
Exactly. And she just could not believe her luck. She's like, well, if you don't ask, you don't get. It's a new me, right? So I thought, you know what? Let's open the phones on 131060 to some more feel-good stories. Have you got tickets off yourself? Have you managed to dodge a fine somehow? Mm. And how did you do it?
I mean, I've been known to fight a fine before. Like once you've received your fine, then you can go in and send a letter. I've done that and had it changed, but that's different.
Yeah.
I'd be keen to hear from both.
I've always thought honesty is the best policy with fines. I remember one time I did a U-turn on a double line. I didn't realise it was a double line, and the policeman came up to me because the police car was up the road, of course, right? And he pulled me over and he said, you've just done a U-ey on a double line. Any reason why you did that? And I said, nah, I just want to get home. And he said, all right, off you go. And that was it.
Who are these? I never get caught like that.
Actually, come to think of it, I'll throw lights and sirens on. We'll get you through some red lights on the way too. 131060. Have you got tickets off yourself? Have you managed to get off a fine legally?
That never happens to me. I've just recently received a parking ticket, but I paid for my parking spot, yet still received a ticket. How the hell does that happen?
I'm
fighting it,
Sarah. You fight
it. I am, because I paid $16 for that car park and they still stung me.
Look, I stand with you, sister. So we want to know, have you managed to get tickets off yourself, Tane? What's your story?
How are you going?
Good.
When I was younger, 18, I was actually at home at the time, but one of my mates had gone out on the town and come home and didn't have a ticket and copped a fine. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, one comes in the mail with my name on it saying that I was, you know, at 2:45 coming home without a train ticket, $208. I didn't pay it, so further down the track, ended up having to go to court to fight it and say, look, it wasn't me. I wasn't on the train. And yeah, I got off the phone. It was my mate and he used my ID.
Oh, wow. What a pal. You guys still friends?
Oh, still mates. It was just, yeah, sort of did it to each other a fair bit, but yeah.
So it was a prank gone wrong, really?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Right.
Or payback. Payback for something Tane isn't sharing with us right now.
Yes. John on 131060, did you manage to get a ticket off yourself?
Yeah, how you going?
Good.
Yeah, right, this would be one for you. I was driving around Melbourne just through the city and I stopped at a set of lights. I seen this bloke crossing the traffic lights in a wheelchair and I think his tyre or his wheel got stuck on his brake. So I pulled over to the no stopping bay and jumped out. And there was a police car about three cars behind me. And he must have realised what I was doing, but he got out, pulled out his book, looked like he was going to give me a ticket in the window, and I wasn't even in there. And he noticed that I was coming back across the road, and he'd seen what happened, and looked at me and scrunched the ticket up.
Yes, see, you're a good Samaritan, John. Wow.
Yeah, so that's good old Aussie policing back in the day. That was back in the day when they had their good old books.
Here yeah. And, see, now I feel, John, with the printed tickets, that you know, some officers, once they print it, they will not retract it. So this female officer that your sister encountered, Sarah, is rare.
Well, I think it's exposing the system that they can reverse a ticket even if it's been printed off. I mean, look, what have we done, Lees? We've uncovered a ruse.
What I wouldn't give for a police officer to scrunch up a ticket. Like, that's a moment that I feel I've missed out on in life. Like, it's so cinematic. You know, to have an officer stand at your window and then just crunch up a ticket.
Well, John's
I need
it.
To do that.
Well, you've still got time. Don't
I know,
worry.
But John's living the life. That's what I mean. Why hasn't that happened to me?
We need to get out of your car and help people and see what happens.
As if I'm going to do that. Get a load of this. A Mexican man has trapped himself in a hole he dug to spy on his ex. So it's kind of like
what?
Shawshank Redemption. Right, except instead of tunnelling out, he tunnelled in to try and figure out what his ex of 14 years, bad breakup, understandably bad breakup. This is
obviously.
Not this is not good behaviour, by the way. This is basically the Mexican equivalent of Ivan from Bachelor in Paradise. This is what Ivan would do to Tennille once they're back in Australia, right?
Wait, so sorry, when you say ex of 14 years, then they were together for 14 years or broke up 14 years ago?
No, they were together for 14 years.
Yeah. And
then
I guess
it all went south.
Apart from just doing the usual thing of checking in on your ex via Instagram and Facebook stalking, he's taken it to literal stalking.
So it took him days to dig this tunnel under her house. Now, over the course of a few of those days, the woman heard some scratching noises. She just assumed it was her pet cats until she investigated. It was getting louder and louder and louder. She finally investigated, only to come face to face with her very dehydrated and trapped ex-boyfriend. Obviously, she called the cops and everything because this behaviour is unacceptable and slightly unhinged.
Oh, completely.
Right, completely.
And also, like, dating 101, that's not a way to get your ex back, is to try and dig your way back into their lounge room. It's a no from me. It's a hard no.
I mean, he took it literally, like, I'm going to dig my way back into her heart. Okay, Paolo, no, you didn't do that. Yeah, so he's gone to jail, Sarah.
Rightly
imprisoned.
So.
Imprisoned for digging a tunnel.
Didn't you? Can I? What did you happen?
I've never dug a tunnel.
No,
what are you two
no,
on about?
No, didn't you have an ex who basically used the tunnels of train stations to find you?
Oh, no.
didn't you?
Yes, that was on the subway.
That's
but he didn't
it's a tunnel.
The subway
tunnels. He went into a tunnel.
No,
and he left would notes just, for you, didn't he?
Yes, in the subway tunnels. Yes, that he's American. He can he's not listening.
Okay, good.
He lives overseas, so we can talk about him as long as we want. Yeah, but he didn't like. He just
still as creepy
me.
As
he,
anything.
Creepy
though.
As
didn't he run from subway station to subway station to leave messages at each one?
Correct. Well, he didn't run. He had figured out where I was travelling.
Oh,
to.
That's unhinged.
It's totally. I was terrified. This is a public service announcement. Don't do this to women in your life. It is wrong.
Yeah, don't follow anyone. Don't dig your way
anyone.
Into their home. It's a no.
Just slide into their DMs like a normal person, for the love of God. Oh, my God. Who are these people? I mean, great story, though.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
That was the show.
I mean, that guy with the hole.
Oh, that's creepy.
Creepy as.
Creepy.
How did she stay with him for 14 years?
Also, do you reckon he played it cool when she found it? Was hey, what are you doing here?
I thought I left something behind.
I'm just covered in dirt.
And wasn't he inebriated as well?
Well,
so he's obviously...
They were saying he was in... So was he drinking in the tunnel at the same time?
Like just with a bottle of tequila.
Yeah. I mean,
one tequila,
wrong.
Two tequila, three together. Four, there it is.
This is a weird question, but it's going somewhere related.
Mm.
What is the book Wuthering Heights about?
My
it
God.
Is related.
What
I just
hell?
I thought I saw something that could have been very romantic, also could have just been very like just.
There's
like,
a fine day-to-day. Line between romance
yeah.
no,
well,
and creepy.
Well, I mean, Heathcliff is a very dark character, and Kathy ends up. Yeah.
I came into my. I walked into like. Into the back entrance of my building yesterday, and there's a car park out there, like a visitor's car park, and someone had left a copy of Wuthering Heights on somebody's windscreen.
Ooh.
So I don't know if it was like a friend that was like, hey, you got to read my copy of Wuthering Heights, but it was like the Penguin Classics edition, or whether there's like, I was like, oh, is this cute? Have I seen something a little bit romantic? But if it's not romantic, forget about it.
It's romantic, but in that very dark way.
I remember at uni, a guy, one of the guys in my lecture, who was a little bit older, he was quite cool. He left a menthol cigarette rolled up in a note for me and put it on my windscreen. And it said something like, it was very, it was a cool note. It was just, it was just a couple of sentences. And I said, thank you very much.
What?
That was in my days of scabbing menthol cigarettes from people. I was never a smoker, blah, blah, blah. I would just have, when you have a drink, you'd have a cigarette, like whatever. That was back in the 90s.
What? Teenage
no one's
movie
judging
did.
You. You don't have to get so angry. I could feel the horses
no, because
about
I was
to come
never,
out.
I was never. I was never a smoker.
What teenage movie did you grow up in? Which coming of age movie did you star in?
What this makes me, these conversations with Lee just make me feel so bad about my youth, because the only thing that I can recall being left for me was when I was working as a medical receptionist and someone found a stuffed tiger on the roof that had Nico on its tummy that said, scare you out, Sarah.
What?
Yeah, and so they called the police. It was a really old tiger, and it was dirty. So we don't know if it was just, like, coincidence or whether somebody had actually thrown a stuffed tiger on the roof.
So were you being threatened?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I was so – I would have been, like, 19 or something.
On the roof?
Meanwhile, while that was happening,
Lise is getting free menthol ciggies.
Lise is talking about why she's not calling this guy back, and she's like, I left me a cigarette, but, you know – treat a man, keep him keen. Lee's Carlor is the teenage dirtbag.
And then there's just an exclamation. Whatever! That comes in at the...
That's it. The teenage dirtbag in cinemas May 24. Whatever! I'm not a smoker.
What was his name? Dear God. We went out on
was
a date.
Oh, right.
Oh, we went out. We did.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We went out on a date after that. He sold me on the free ciggy. I was like, if he's going to give me a free ciggy on my windscreen, I'm definitely going to get a free drink out of him.
Oh, my God. Free drinks.
No, he was
Carl
really cool.
Comes back.
No, he was really cool.
I wonder what he was thinking.
Anyway, we went to a date, and I remember we were walking down past the casino here in Brisbane, and I slipped. You know those annoying? I was wearing flat shoes because he was shorter than I was.
Yeah. But he'd given you a cigarette,
I'll do the flats.
So you had to go.
And I don't know how I tripped in flats.
He sounds like his name was Gary.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, his name was Gary for sure.
No, it was some. No, it
he's
was
now a telephone
Dave-o.
Technician.
No, Dave-o. It wasn't Dave-o.
Toddy.
No, definitely. Why are you saying people that we work with?
we work with Toddy.
Jace.
No, it wasn't.
Stav.
Tommy Little.
Yuzi. Ash London. All right, let's go. See you.
Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.